evening, especially if you consider yourself a visitor. I want you to feel welcome to worship with us any opportunity that you have. Thankful for the prayers on my behalf, and it's my prayers as we present lessons that we do something, say something that would, if nothing else, make you want to go look at something a little bit further and have a little better understanding of something that's mentioned from the pulpit instead of taking explicitly what comes from the pulpit and not do any studying past that. You know, Colin asked me yesterday what the title of the lesson was, and I told him as discipleship, but in reality it's to becoming a disciple. So we can blame Colin for putting out the wrong information on that deal. You know, we're going to take the text for our lesson this evening from Luke chapter 14, verse 26, 27, and verse 33. Here the scripture says, "If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple." You know, Jesus places very important emphasis on us becoming disciples in these group of verses that we just read. But there are several things in these verses that we're going to take from these verses tonight and look at. But to start with, I want to have an understanding of what exactly is a disciple. You know, Jesus made it important enough to say that if we do this, 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 and this, we can't be a disciple. So what is a disciple? You know, disciple, the word disciple in Strong's is number 3101. And I'm not going to attempt to pronounce the Greek language there, but it's simply put in as a definition as a learner or a pupil, a disciple. So a disciple is a learner. From the time we come to the realization and understanding that we live in opposition to our Creator and are obedient to the gospel through baptism, we are a learner or a disciple. We learn that we are not right with God, and we learn how to take care of that. We learn and will be constant learners of God's word and the examples and the paths that Jesus left for us as a pattern for our lives. So let's look at what we can learn from our text verses as we go this evening. You'll notice what's highlighted in the red here. So as we read this again, it says, "If any man come unto me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple." You know, when reading these verses, it presents things that you can't help but question. When you look at this, and especially in what's highlighted in the red, it just instantly calls to mind questions. And since it is talking about these things in the context of us becoming disciples, then we need to have a little better understanding of what it means when we look at these verses. So from these verses, I see three questions arise. The first question is verse 26. "If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple." So what does he mean that we have to hate our families to become a disciple? You know, that seems kind of contradictory to a Christian belief, because we understand that God is love, and love is a basic foundational stone for us being children of God. So how can he tell us that we have to hate our families to be a disciple of God? That just doesn't make any sense. But when you look at the word itself, yep, I have it somewhere in here. Hate is, just like Chris and his deal this, I didn't do what Chris did this morning, but I have something missing here this morning, this evening. Hate in this verse is Strong's number 3404, Meseo, and it says to detest or love less. So in this verse, we understanding that meaning to love less. He's not telling us that we have to hate our family to be a disciple of God. What he's telling us is that we have to love our families less than we do loving him. There has to be a priority shift in our lives. He should be the first priority in our lives. So it's a matter of a priority shift. Instead of me, myself, and I, and my family, and what my family wants to do, it should be what Jesus wants me to do. And then I work that around my family stuff around that priority. A very simple question, very easily answered, that the hate in that verse simply means that we're to love our families less than we love Jesus. So the next question that arises is verse 27. He says, and whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. So what about us bearing our cross? You know, how are we supposed to do that? Are we supposed to carry around a 6-foot or a 10-foot wooden cross everywhere we go, all through the day, everywhere we leave the house, we have his cross with us? Well, of course not. That would just be ridiculous, and that's not what the verse tells us. Matthew chapter 16, verse 24 and 25 says, then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Also in the next couple of verses, Matthew 10, verse 38 says, and he that taketh not his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. Luke 14, verse 27 says, and this is the verse we just read from the context, whosoever did not bear his cross, come after me, cannot be my disciple. You know, here Jesus states plainly that if we aren't willing to bear that cross, then there's no other way that we can be disciples. That's one of the characteristics for us being a disciple. We have to carry that cross. And there's three things I want us to notice here on what bearing that cross means. You know, number one, the cross in that time frame in the first century, a cross stood for execution. You know, it wasn't some little deal that we work as a necklace and everybody in the country wore one and as something you'd stick up in front of the church building, then everybody know. In the first century, a cross stood for execution. So when Jesus tells us to take up our cross, what he's telling us is that we're to die to our old selves, our old priorities, and to follow him completely. Number two, the bearing our cross is a call to drastically change our views, our attitudes, and our old ways of doing things. No more should it be, well, I want to do this and this and this. It should be, what does Jesus want me to do here and there? Luke chapter 9, verse 23 says, and he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Deny ourselves, that's part of that attitude shift, part of our priority shift, that we deny ourselves and take up his cross daily. You know, it's not a one-time event. It's something that we should take care of each and every day. And it's a daily decision each and every day that we need to take that. Number three is bearing our cross is not just dealing with life's problems. You know, we've all heard people often tell us, well, you know, that's my cross to bear. Whatever that is, referring to a tough job, illnesses in the family, relationship problems, you know, any of the multitude of life's problems, well, that's just my cross to bear. Well, that's not what this means. You know, hardships can shape us, but Jesus's original meaning was far deeper than simply enduring the difficulties that we face in this life. You know, a simple way to understand it is to bear your cross is to willingly embrace the sacrifices needed to be obedient to God's teachings. You know, that we should have an open heart and an open mind to be willing to embrace those sacrifices God's word tells us. And then to allow the transformation required to follow Jesus to reshape our lives, even when it costs us something, even when there's something that we're going to have to pay. Whether in time, sacrifice, money, whatever the case. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, Chris used these verses this morning. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Be not conformed to this world. There we go again with changing our priorities. You know, so much of the time we conform ourselves exactly to the world around us. And we're called to be disciples. Part of that is to not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And we renew our mind by getting into God's word and understanding what it tells us to do. So the third main question in verse 33 says, so likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. So are we truly supposed to forsake all that we have? You know, does Jesus expect us to be homeless, desolate, nomads, to show forth our worthiness to become disciples? You know, I'm afraid if that was the case, we wouldn't need the building because we wouldn't have anybody here to begin with. But that's not what God's word means in this context. Jesus says in what we just read that whoever does not forsake all that he has cannot be his disciple. That sounds pretty rough. You know what it is, but the meaning is about who we choose to follow, not what we choose to follow. Jesus is wanting absolute ownership of our lives. To forsake means to renounce our claim on everything. You know, Chris talked about this morning that once we're saved by Jesus' blood on the cross, then we're slaves to Jesus. To forsake means that we renounce our claim on everything. It's about shifting from it's my life, my plans, my stuff, to everything I have belongs to you. How do you want me to use it? It's a transfer of authority, not necessarily a transfer of possessions. He's not commanding every disciple to become financially destitute. It's all about what we are attached to, not what's in our bank account. Jesus expects us to have a willingness to obey even when it costs us comfort, a willingness to let go of anything that competes with our duty to serve him, and a willingness to follow even if it means sacrifice, rejection, or loss. So what does forsaking all look like in real life? You know, it looks like letting Jesus define our priorities instead of me defining my priorities. Our priorities have to be that we learn to be willing to give, to serve, to sacrifice, or to even change direction completely when we see it doesn't align with God's word. We refuse to let money, relationships, habits, dreams, jobs, or anything else take priority in our lives over our service to become disciples. Simply put, Jesus doesn't demand that we own nothing. He demands that nothing owns us to where we are beholden to it. Romans chapter 15, verse 1 says, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. In this, just what we just learned, you know, learning to be a disciple is learning. In this, what we just learned, and a couple of comments above, that we're to give, to serve, to sacrifice, and not to please ourselves. We shift our focus from me and what I want to others and what they need. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 through 5 says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Isn't that exactly what we need to be as a disciple, to learn to be in a disciple? That we look not every man on our own things, but we change our focus and our priorities to where we look out for our brothers and sisters around us and the things that they need more than what we need. Verse 5 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. You know, this is shifting our focus to let the mind of Christ be in us and not our own mind. The whole concept of being a disciple is that we are to learn to be more Christ-like each and every day. And with that knowledge, follow the steps and examples that Jesus left for us. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21 says, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. And the bottom of that's not part of the verse. First John 2 and verse 6 says, he that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. So in these couple of verses here, it says we have been called because Jesus suffered for us, and then he left us an example that we should follow his steps. First John says that we abide in him, therefore we also ought to walk as he walked. You know, every time we read God's word, we hear his word spoke, we learn what and how to use his word. We get so busy in this life with all the things we and our families get involved in that we lose our focus on Jesus and his teachings, and we find ourselves failing terribly at being a disciple of Jesus Christ. It's all about that learning how to prioritize our lives and give Jesus the main priority, and then let everything else work around that priority. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. For we are his workmanship, created so that we can make good works. And that's what we've been ordained to do since the beginning of time. That's becoming a disciple of Jesus Christ. When we shape our lives according to God's word and let his word mold and shape our lives according to his will. When we learn that I'm not number one in my life, but Jesus is number one. When we learn that we need to be more concerned about others than ourselves, and then show that by the way we act and the way we talk to people and the way we do the things as we live out in this world. Learning to be a disciple of Jesus Christ is, as we mentioned, a lifelong endeavor. We will never fully grasp the whole concept of what it means to truly be a disciple of Christ. But we have to take it one step at a time each and every day and continue to learn what Jesus wants from us and what he expects us to be. I'll leave the lesson with you this evening. I pray the things we studied have been beneficial for you and an encouragement for the way we do things, and maybe we need to make changes, then let's make changes. If anyone's subject to the gospel call, we'd ask you to come up front while we stand and sing the song that's been selected.